Okay.
All right, this is our special meeting for Wednesday, July 10th. This is about our clerk position. John was good enough to bring in Robert Carter to help, or Roger Carter. Or I have been saying that all day. I thought I got it right. Okay. Anyway. So I just want to welcome everybody. We have a quorum. Gladys and or Josh isn't here. Josh is the only one that's not here. But Gladys, John, Ray, and myself are here, which makes a quorum. So we're good there. First of all, tonight, let's say the Pledge of Allegiance, if everyone will stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Next, it's a simple agenda. It is basically the attorney's contract, and then all of us discussing the clerk position and what we would like to ask questions to Roger and anybody else that has any questions. Tonight is a fact-finding meeting, and what we want to have presented at our up-and-coming July 25th meeting. Now, I have talked to Jess, and if we can come to some kind of an agreement, she is willing to stay on. So what we need to do is see what Roger can do for us, what questions that you have, not only for Roger, but for Jessica. And then what we'll do is we'll decide what information we need by the 25th, because we're going to have to vote and make a decision that night on what we do. So this should give us time to do it. So, John, do you want to start with anything? Have you got anything that you'd like to add?
John here. No, not really. I think, as I said, tonight I'd like us to come out of the meeting with a list of action items that once those are accomplished, we'll have all the information we need on the 25th to come up with a decision. So I think I've had a lot of time to talk with Roger today. Earlier today, we started at lunch and had a work session in the, just a working meeting in the town hall during the afternoon. And then he's had a chance to look over some documents. So we'll bring him up to speed on how we got to where we are and what it was like. And I think Ray and Gladys need an opportunity to ask questions as I had earlier in the book. Obviously,
okay, thank you. We do need to approve the agenda. So, Gladys, or someone want to make a motion?
Gladys will make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Do I have a second?
John, second.
All in favor?
Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Ray, aye.
Judy, aye. Okay. Sorry, I slipped past that. Does anybody have a conflict of interest that they need to disclose?
Are we just doing all discussion when the attorney's the only first thing we're is making a decision on?
Yeah, that's the only thing we're making a decision on. Everything else is basic discussion. And
okay.
All right, let's move on to public comments. Anybody have a public comment? I don't see any hands raised, so we'll move on. All right, the town attorney agreement. We okayed the funds in our budget. And so this is a one-year contract, attorney. And right now, we are keeping him pretty busy with the ordinances and everything that we're doing.
Dan did have his hand up. I think he did.
Oh, did he?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't see that.
No, Dan? I neither.
Do you have
you a didn't question? See it because I was struggling to find the damn button.
Okay.
I do have a comment, and I know that I don't know where you guys' discussion is going tonight, but there has been some talk about contracting out the clerk position if things don't work out with Jess. And I want to just put in my input that I think that's a horrible idea. I want someone in the clerk position, which is arguably one of the most significant positions in town. I want them to be local. I want them to know who the hell I am. I want them to know what the issues are. I just want it to be somebody who lives in this community and knows what's going on. I think sending it out to somebody outside of this community is an absolutely horrid idea. And if it takes more money to keep Jessica on, give her more money. That's my pitch. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Dan. Anyway.
Nancy.
Hello?
Just Nancy unmuted herself. Okay. She doesn't have her
hand up. I guess we'll stay in public comments a minute. I didn't mean
to unmute myself. You can mute me, Jessica. I'm struggling with Zoom on my phone right now. Thank you.
Okay. Now we're good.
Okay, I thought Jennifer had her hand up. Jennifer Bach, did you have your hand up? I saw a little hand, I think.
Have my hand up on purpose if I did have it up. I don't think I did.
Okay.
Perfect.
All right, we're going to give it 2 seconds more. Anybody else? All right, we're good. All right, so back to the contact. So Michael has been a valuable resource, and we've really been using him a lot between everything that we've been dealing with. So on this contract, it's $1,250 for a year, and then after a year, hopefully, we'll have a lot of our stuff taken care of, and we'll talk to him and see if we need to, if we can go back to an hourly rate. We may not, I don't know, but that is, that's something to think about. The contract seemed pretty straightforward to me as I read it. Does anybody have any questions on the contract? All right.
And there are two, so the contract that was given to everyone yesterday, there was two small changes. So the one yesterday right here, it said beginning July 1, 2024 through June 30th, 2024. So we just corrected the number 5. And then right down here, there was just a word that got taken. So they're just
typos
that have come out. So there are two changes, but that is it. Where did that just go? I think it's, I'll have to get back on that. But it's just a typo.
And about Josh's reference to county.
Yes.
That's it.
That's all that got taken. Yeah, it was Josh's comment that he wrote to everyone. And I will say, Michael is on, kind of. He is also participating in a county planning and zoning as well. So he is here, kind of. So if you guys do have questions or need anything, he is available, which is why he's on Zoom. But that was the only thing. Because then you said $1,250, so it's $1,250 a month.
Yeah,
for a year, which was what was the amount?
$1,250 a month.
Yeah, $1,250 a month for 1 year. And that's the money that was, we had had this discussion, it's put into the budget and it was approved through the budget. So it's already in the budget that way. So.
And he's basing that on approximately how, does he say approximately how many hours that is? Or is it unlimited hours?
At his billing rate, it's about 17 hours, I think. Let's see, 70. His old billing rate was $70 an hour.
75.
75. So I think with the amount of time he's been spending, this is going to be more efficient for us.
Mm-hmm. All right. Any other questions? All right. I'll entertain a motion with the two changes. Somebody like to make a motion?
I'll make that motion to accept the agreement that's presented for 1 year.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right. All in favor of accepting this contract with the two changes for 1 year, say aye. Those opposed, say no. Gladys, aye.
John, aye.
Ray, aye.
Judy, aye. Okay. Passed. All right. So tonight really is about Jessica's job. And in talking with Jess, she told me that she would be willing to stay if we could work something out. She didn't say any specific number, but what we're trying to determine tonight is what we need to bring to the table on the 25th, all of us, to answer any questions we have about her job. She is going to present detailed stuff of what she does. And I'm going to turn this over to Roger right now because he has brought up some, he's taken a look at our budget and the audit. So he has some information for us and I'd like him to show that.
Judy, can I just make one comment first?
Uh-huh.
My perception is it is not just about Jessica's job. Whatever decisions we make concerning her job, it affects every other employee. It also, we have to look at our whole budget, which I'm hoping Mr. Carter is going to have some recommendations. So I don't want anybody to think that I'm thinking in terms of.
No, that's okay.
It's just, I'm saying in terms of the town clerk job, because we all know that Jessica is my daughter-in-law, which puts us both in a bad position.
Okay, thanks, Gladys.
And I will add to that that yes, it is about the town, the getting the town clerk duties performed in a way that's beneficial to the town. That's what we're here to talk about.
Correct. Okay.
Okay, well, thanks. And that's all you need to see on the agenda is here's somebody from the outside coming in to tell you how to be helpful. That's that old federal government concept. That is not what my intention would be here at all. Let me, and for the benefit of some that might be listening, let me just explain what role I play. So a couple of years ago, the state legislator funded what is known as the local administrative advisor positions. Each regional government is assigned one, six county is assigned two. The goal is to have somebody who've had experience in local government to work with towns primarily who don't have full-time administrators, who mayors and councils and clerks, because that's the statutory position, are just doing the best they can because unfortunately, towns have many of the same responsibilities you find in a city with no resources. And so the goal of this program is to, by the way, we have 19 of those towns that qualify. You have to be under 10,000 in population, no town administrator. So we have 19 of those in the five county area, a lot of them along Highway 12 here. It's very much a self-determined program. So if the town, again, says, hey, we don't want any big city waves coming into our town, they're perfectly willing, perfectly allowed to do that. Second of all, my position specifically is I don't come in and tell you what to do. You know what this is your town. The citizens of this community elected you and put their trust in you. And you'll be very honorable. You've been very honorable. Will be continue to be very honorable. And so you'll have the right decisions. I'm here to just help where you would like me to help. And some of that's going to be, well, here's some of my experience. Here's some knowledge that I have about other things. And in a lot of cases, it may be, I don't have any knowledge about that. But over the 20 plus years that I've worked, I know somebody who does. And maybe they can come in and help. I've found that particularly with rural communities, but it's actually true for all government, government success is largely proportionate to the relation the relationships they have with others. Okay, and I'm talking intergovernmental relations and others. Okay, and so the more you can have of those and people that are willing to kind of help out, and sometimes we get pretty proud in our own little towns, and we don't want that. And so I'm just here to offer whatever assistance I can be. And so you can take or leave any thoughts that I might have. But it's a lovely community. I'm grateful to be a part. Rural government has been my emphasis. I've city manager for 20 plus years, and not that rural of a community, although, you know, the national definition has everything but Salt Lake in the state of Utah is rural, but I've worked with a lot of rural communities. So when I was contacted with regards to this, it was just, hey, we may be looking for a transition and we want to know what's the best way to, could you give us some help with that? And so, and then John and I began talking about other things within the community that I can, I'm here to help or lift part of the burden with you or whatever you want to. But as I thought about it, as I came today, I thought, well, and we knew that the priority was going to be the clerk discussion. And again, I was kind of under the understanding it might be transition, it might be something else. And so, and Jessica will say this afternoon, I asked her a lot of pointed questions because I just didn't know where we kind of sat on it. I didn't know if it was, you know, the die was cast with regards to her leaving or what all that was about. But the one indication I would indicate, and I think, who was it? The gentleman who spoke first, Dan?
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So the one thing I mentioned before is, irrespective of the direction that this council goes, and I will be supportive of whatever direction this council decides to go, or be whatever help I can be, you would like me to help with. Dan's right. The town clerk is foundation. There is only one statutory position that the towns have to have, and I'm talking outside of council, okay, because council, of course, and that is a town clerk. And I think I have it here, but I don't need to pull it up. If you look at the state statutes and the responsibility of the town clerk, it's overwhelming. They are ultimately responsible for financial preparations. They're ultimately responsible for many land use stamps and attestations. They're responsible for record keeping. They're responsible for risk management. Oftentimes they're asked to help with HR. They're responsible for many legal issues and their elections. My goodness, that alone would keep me out of that position. Is just elections because they're so tough to do. But they have a lot to do. And I have not been to a town ever, a small town, that clearly the requirements that the state is putting on the town clerks far exceed their capacity. And in many of our small towns, they're not even full-time. They're the one permanent employee you have, but in many cases, they're not even full-time. And it's a lot of times just simply the case of finances, resources, okay? And it's my understanding here that Jessica works about 35 hours, something like that. So again, below the full-time mark, but that's most of the towns. So I mentioned earlier today that even though there are a lot of other things that I think we can work on over time, and I can maybe give you some assistance on over time that will hopefully be of help to the town. This is a priority because however you decide to go, you need to have a strong town clerk. It is also the position that has continuity. So election cycles give and take. Election cycles bring and take elected officials. And they have a different role. Their role is to reflect the wishes of the community, to try to develop policy based upon community input. And staff's job is to implement, to make the wheels work, and to somehow become that crossroads of taking public policy and government services and make them work. And that's tough. Being a city manager, I can tell you that's awful tough. I always loved operating the system. I hated the politics side of it, okay? That was always the tough part for me, but I loved the operations side of the thing. So that's kind of my first comment is wherever direction you go, as a council, I would hope you'd have as a high priority. We want to really have the best structure we can get for a town clerk, one that's going to be successful. We want to try to you want to avoid having turnover, you had a previous town clerk. What did you say the years were? Okay, I doubt you're going to find that again. Okay, but there's certainly a reputation in this community of having great stability here as well. I find in the communities I work, I have town clerks that are either 3 months or 30 years, nothing in between. They're either turning over because of 30 years or retiring. And I'm getting brand new clerks, or I'm getting clerks that have done it forever. The clerks that have done it forever, they're the ones that probably don't have any chiefs with me either. But whatever you do in whatever direction you go, we ought to talk about just what is going to give us the best option for having a solid town clerk, because they'll make or break your community. It's that simple. Okay, so under the understanding that we were talking transition, so we talked about things like, and John had mentioned this, you know, could we do remote? Oh, I was actually surprised that you had actually posted it once. I didn't know that. And that was actually helpful in our discussion today to see what that produced. But also we talked about, you know, what happens if you can't find a full-time clerk in the town? What are the options? So we talked about, is there an option for remote? Is there an option? I had a mayor just recently call and say, hey, I want to put all of my employees on contract, and they don't have a lot. And he said, is that a good idea? And I said, well, I'm not always recommend that there's one position I would not put on contract only because of their statutory requirements. And that is your town clerk. And they're part-time too as well. So I said, just, I want you to think that through, because they have so many responsibilities that are legal in nature. So to me, I think I would never say never for remote. And we even talked about, hey, if we went through the duties and responsibilities, could we kind of put them in categories? Could we say, hey, this needs somebody here, right in town. You can't ship this off to Washington County or Iron County or wherever else. And this is one that maybe there's some duties that somebody remote can do. Okay, so we talked about that. I've not seen that happen, but it's only because I haven't seen it happen. Okay, certainly the preferred, I would recommend that the preferred approach you should have, if it's possible, is what was mentioned. And that is, you'll be better off with a proximate clerk than a remote one. And part of the reason I say that is because, I mean, you might be trading, I use this term too much, but you might be trading just six of these problems for half a dozen of another problems remote. Okay. You know, are they putting in the hours? Are they doing what they need to do? We have less control, those type of things. But is it possible? I would never say it never isn't possible in this modern day technology world. So if you got to that point, and that's the decision that the council chose to go, because I think, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, I would assume that you would all would prefer somebody local than somebody distant. I mean, I just think that's intuitive. But if you did go to that point, then you know, we'll work on that together. I have connections with other town clerks in other towns. They're pretty big towns, so I don't think they would be the ones that would dive in. We have connections with the Utah Municipal Clerks Association to see if we could do that as well. And so if the council's decision at the end of the day is that, then I can help where I can in that particular situation. So then we get back to the question that's at hand, especially in finding out that Jessica said, well, and I would let Jessica talk to this, but when Jessica was talking about, well, I just think the position itself, and I think it's important. I appreciate, Councilwoman, your comment, because whenever we talk about organizational structure, I always have to tell people, let's remove the person from the position and let's talk the position. Okay. And this, you have to do this all the time when you're putting pay structures together, when you're dealing with performance evaluation. Well, performance evaluation is more of the person, but you often, in organizational structure, it's important that you pull the person out of the position and just say, okay, what is the value of this person? What is the equity of this position to that position? Okay, that's what we call internal equity. And then how does it stack up to the market? That's what we refer to as external equity. Okay, all those are factors. And no matter how much we wish them away, they are as scientific of application as you can probably get. If pay's not appropriate, and I know that's part of the discussion, so whatever that means, if pay's not appropriate, it becomes a problem. If working conditions are not, it becomes a problem. Market demands become a problem. Market changes become a problem. And so all those have factors here that are going to play a role. And so all the questions that at least I've heard that you counsel have been asking have been good questions. Okay. And we'll talk a little bit about those as we kind of move forward. So then the question is, okay, what is the value of the position? And one of the things I suggested is, well, you know, that's tough. That's a tough one to figure out, but you can. And pay structures do that. They do the best they can. Pay structures work very hard to be objective, and they become so subjective. Okay. And it's just because they're difficult things. They're difficult things. So, you know, one of the suggestions I had is, you know, we can hear from individuals, but maybe one of the things we do is we look at the market again. It's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you posted the position for a wage and you had one, I believe, and that was withdrawn, right? And is that wage essentially what Jessica's was? Mm-hmm. Okay. So barring any other reasons why that would happen, because remember, at the end of the day, the market principle in play here is there has to always be a willing buyer, seller, and there always has to be a willing buyer. And when that happens, you find the market price. When that doesn't happen on one side or the other, that's not the market price because it's all market driven. So now there may be a lot of reasons why you weren't successful beyond the pay. But if the pay was one of them, then I would say, maybe that has to be visited by you as a counsel, even if you're hiring outside, may not be right there yet. So how do we do that? Well, how we do that is do two things. One is we can analyze. We can look at other examples. And it's going to have to involve two parts. And this is what I offered the mayor that I'm happy to do as well as I can before your 24th, 25th meeting. And that is to look at a comparable set of towns. And when I say comparable set, I will explain to you when we get to that point why I qualified a town. So when we did this in Washington City, and by the way, we had full-blown compensation structures done by outside firms, okay? But we had a big influence on how it was structured. And you don't have that privilege, but it is a nice way to go to. But they would ask us, well, how would you like, what do you think are your comparables to our position? We said to them, we want to look at three factors, and then we want to mosh them together and create a conglomerate kind of score or range. First, we want to look at cities that have equal budgets or similar budgets, not equal. We want to look at towns that have similar population, and we want to look at competing towns. Okay, those are towns that will take our employees because they're next door. Okay. Now, this third one rated slightly less because St. George had a budget three times our size in Washington. And if somebody was going to leave to St. George, because they didn't have to commute any further for the most part or whatever, and they said, well, they're going to pay me three times more, I might have just simply said, we wish you the best of luck. You know, we can't do it. But we also knew that they were competing against us. And so we didn't want them stripping where we could make adjustments. We didn't want them stripping our employees nonstop. You know, so Hurricane was in that set and all. So what I'd be looking at over the next couple of weeks is I might look at those criteria a little bit within your area. You've got a unique problem here that we didn't have in the urbanized area, in that you do have a smaller population, so you have a limited pool that you're going to pull from. Okay. Second of all, nobody's commuting in. And they might, but they're probably going to want to do it with some. I mean, it's not like St. George Hurricane in Washington. Okay. So that's a problem, okay, as well. And so you've got a few of these kind of unique problems. And by the way, this is what we call a knowledge position. This is not a position that, you know, that you expect the paper delivery boy to do. These are knowledge positions, and knowledge positions are defined as people who have specific skill and knowledge that is necessary to make the job function. So knowledge positions, and there are lots of them, you've all probably participated in you all probably are all part of a knowledge job. They require a different look than just need a laborer to sit in here and do those things. But that's only one part. So doing a comparable, so we'd say, well, what does the town clerks make in this comparable set, okay, that we put together? And I would give you that. And I'm not going to go crazy. I'd suggest maybe a half a dozen, if that, towns. And I would tell you why I would have selected those towns. And you could say, oh, I like that, or I don't like that. Maybe we should look at this town as well. But that's only part of it, because the other problem you have here, I'm going to go back to 3 months or 30 years, is we also recognize that some of our town clerks around here, and I know this for a fact, they've been here so long, and there's been an inability to compensate them to the market, that there is variance in the market. So I don't have a problem showing you what a town clerk makes, but additionally, I'm going to try to show to you, and I'll see how well I can do this based upon the data that's out there, but I'll show you what the current kind of postings are that are currently, contemporarily going on. So what is the market? What is other towns having to post? Not what their clerk that's been there for 30 years is making, but what are they having to post to even attract some? Now, the reason why I think that's going to be important for you as a council is because then all of a sudden that gives you a construct to begin to look at and say, well, are we undervalued on the position, or are we not undervalued on the position? Is the position need this much more value or that much more? Now, that's important, because at the end of the day, again, what is always king is budgets. They're always kings. But it still gives you a perspective that then you can look at the budget and say, listen, this is either going to always, if I buy into the data, this is always going to be a problem for me. So how do I address it over here on the budget side? Or you know, some other decision. But again, the data will help, I think. So that was one of the things that I suggested, is that before the 24th. And not only that, but again, like I said, you as council members have a different role than, for instance, the clerk does. You're going to have the question potentially by the public. You know, well, Ray, how did you come to the determination that this position was X versus Y? Okay, that's a valid question. And I can promise you, probably nobody understands the role of a clerk more than a clerk. Probably the next is the city council. And maybe even they don't understand the full role. And beyond that, even the town will, the citizens will understand even less. They'll know the clerk for what they ask the clerk to do for them, but that'll be it. So again, it's your job to kind of look at the responsibilities and say, this is what's important to us, and this is how we think that gets valued, and this is how it fits within the marketplace. Okay, so I think that's an important piece of data that we'll try to get to you too, so that you have some. And so if you decide to, so one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to say, hey, we can negotiate with our existing town clerk, or we're going to go out and hire somebody new, but you're still going to want to know what that market price is. Because otherwise you're not going to be hiring. And again, I'm going to go back to where I started, and that is your town is largely going to be determined, the success of your town, on both having someone and a quality person in that clerk position. And again, can you find it out there? Sure, you can probably find it out there. But what does that come, what cost does that come at, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, so that's one piece of the puzzle. You have to answer that. And those are just the true economics. And there'll be some subjectivity to that you guys can all kind of debate and throw around a little bit, but hopefully a little bit more data will help that a little bit. Okay. And then you've got, of course, other issues that you would have to address. And Josh mentioned one today, and he said, I don't know how to ask this, but he said, is it a concern of if we do make an adjustment with one position, how does it affect the other position? And my response to that is absolutely a good question. That's what we call internal equity. Okay. And so, yes, it can become disruptive. to either a pay structure or even just a sense of fairness that others feel. Now, two things I'll say about that. First of all, if it's being compared to a pay scale, the first question you always have to ask, and we all will ask this, is was our pay scale correct to begin with? Okay, and it may not be. Depends on how the pay scale came together. It depends on, you know, all sorts of things, but that's the first question we'd ask. The second question we would ask is, so what? We have this great game plan, but the market can change the world tomorrow. And it's all based upon supply and demand. And let me give you an example of that. One year, because we have pay structures for each one of our positions in our city. And by the way, we have about 250 full-time positions. Now, if you're a water maintenance one, you know, you're falling within that pay structure kind of thing. And it's always checked with the market every year. Of course, again, we have the benefit of having a firm to do that. But we found out one year that there was a lack of supply and a high demand in the market for IT people. And we had the best IT person, and we figured we were going to lose. And in order to adjust for what the market did that year, which we could have never predicted, we had to modify our pay structure that we had adopted. Now, there are ways we can do that, and there's ways we can come back and try to make some equity with the others. Here's a common thing. It's called the compression. I can hire John 10 years ago at a wage, and he may be clipping along, and today he's at today's wage. I can't fill a position at John's wage he got 10 years ago, let alone with his increases. And in many cases, many of the employees never had many increases, okay? So I'm out in the market, and all of a sudden I have to hire someone at 50 cents more than John, who has been here for 5 years. That's a truth fact. That's called compression. What do we do? Well, we came up with the policy. So what happens? They leapfrog. They leapfrog their supervisor immediately. And we had no choice. It was a choice of either hiring somebody, hiring no one, or trying to make some equity adjustment within the organization. Okay. So we would do things like if we had a new hire that leapfrogged anybody within kind of what we considered that tenure range, that we would just have to make some adjustment to the others. And we would always try to budget a little money to do that. Now, they usually never come free. So I'll give you the end of the story at the beginning. But they usually never come free. But my point is it is not unusual for every organization to have the market throw them a curveball. So that's why when we bring this data together and you guys look out there and say, well, we tried 21, maybe you tried 22, maybe you tried 23, whatever direction you want to go, and it's not successful and ultimately you land at something, that's truly what the market's going to be. And no matter how much you wish it to be otherwise, it's not going to be. So then your choice is, do we take something lesser of value to the position, or do we increase it? And those type of things. Now, again, if the decision is made that impacts the pay structure as you've all defined, and I don't know what that is, let me say it this way. I don't think that should discourage you if that's the decision that needs to be made. Okay. If the decision needs to be made, the only way we're going to get a person, whether that's Jessica or John or Jane Doe, is we've got to go outside of our pay structure to get it. Don't let that discourage you. We can then have a discussion about the other positions that might have some equity impacts and what some of the suggestions might be. And yes, some of it might come at value at some cost. And we ought to be honest about what that can be and be prepared for that. There are other tricks and things too. For instance, you can give, it's possible you can give adjustment. We did this before and say, you're going to have to grow into this. So don't come back to us for another pay adjustment for 4 or 5 years, whatever. Okay. Now I realize you can't bind them to that. The employee can leave tomorrow. This is not an indentured servant issue, but that could happen anyway, any day. So there's just a few things you can do. It's not always beautiful and clean, but it's us reacting to things that are outside of our control. So if you do choose to make a decision that impacts what you think is an internal equity issue, then I just suggest don't let that make you scared. Do it, because otherwise you're still going to have the problem you started with, and that is you don't have a clerk, or you don't have the value of the right clerk for the value of the position. And then let's just talk about how we deal with the compression issue, okay? Because there's things we can do there. Now, then that brings it to the king of all kings, the budget. Okay, and as I told you, the budget is always king. Okay, so, and I know, and I asked Jessica to provide to me both your proposed budget as well as a copy of your audit. And the audit we've got is the 2022 audit, which is fine. I think it's fine. For my purposes, it was just fine. Matter of fact, I think it's actually gotten probably brighter than the 2022 period. But so I know you've got a little deficit. One thing that your town has, and I'm going to congratulate you for this, is you've got a very, very healthy, as a matter of fact, I think you've maxed out your fund balance. For those who are on and don't know that, that's the rainy day funds. That's the amount the city can set aside. And the cities are capped on how much they can set aside by law. I don't know why. I think Brigham Young didn't trust us cities or something, and he just put that law in place. And
so 35%?
You guys are at 100% on, I think it's 100% for tenants.
For the rainy day fund, 100%.
Of your revenues on that year.
It is. Huh?
Yeah, I think that's the case. In cities, it's 30%. But towns, because they have such a small dollar amount, they give them a higher percentage, and I think it's 100%. So you can have a full year's basically in reserve. This is general fund, okay? Your proprietary funds, you don't have any proprietary funds, do you? Mm-hmm. You don't run any services. Mm-hmm. Okay, so your general fund cannot have more than the state maximum, and it appears that you've done that. So congratulations to that. You are the envy of a whole lot of communities that don't have all that. Now, our communities are pretty healthy right now, but not fully. So number one is that fund is there not to just look at, and that's why they've capped it, to be honest with you. Over years, the only thing I can think of, I won't vouch for this, but the state legislature capped towns and cities because they didn't want towns and cities hoarding money on the backs of the taxpayers. So what they said is, they said, we're going to allow you to have money that you can use to ebb and flow, to take peaks off, valleys off. Cities, we've been arguing for a long time that needs to be higher than 30%. Used to be 25. We finally got it pushed to 30, whoop-de-doo. But at least it was going in the right direction. So I would not be fearful of your fund balance. Okay. I know you got a deficit this year. Fine. That's a fine place that you can go to your fund balance. And again, what it should trigger is just a long-term discussion. Okay. We're going to take that from the rainy days today, but how do we make sure that this is not a continuous type of deficit? Okay. So whether you're going to be hiring a new clerk or increasing the wages of the existing clerk, you're going to have to go back to that fund, at least to get you by. That's the reality. And I'm not sure the reality is not going to be any different again if you start from scratch. And also whatever equity issues there might be there. But again, I think that you have a small enough number of employees that I think that can be addressed relatively easy. But one of the reasons I want to look at your budget is it's pretty common in small towns that there are a variety of areas that towns can generate revenue that almost is more equitable than they're not. Let me give you an example. And I know you've talked about it, so I'm not going to be surprising with anything. When you have a land use application come into this town, it still takes time and effort by your administrative staff to review it. So money is being spent on administrative staff reviewing your applications. Okay. If you're not charging for applications, guess who ultimately is paying you? A taxpayer. Now, I don't know of any taxpayer that wants to pay for somebody's new development that's being proposed, or even subsidize a new development. So that's what I mean by equity. So sometimes there are areas of revenue enhancement that is not just coming back, not only not coming back on the general public, but it's becoming more equitable for the general public. Okay. I looked at building permit fees. Your building permit fees. The IBC even recommends what building permit fees are, and their purpose is to offset costs that cities have. Now, again, if you're charging nothing, you still are investing from a city standpoint, some level of commitment, some cost. And so somebody's picking that up. Now, why is that important? Well, because if you can identify these, what I call leakage of revenues, okay, and plug those in a more equitable way, that makes more funding available for other things. And I just put real quick check marks on some of these. Don't write them down because I haven't put any thought into it.
Okay.
I just was looking quick at if I was a city manager and this was my town, here's the one. I would just go through these and I'd say, okay, I want to look at what makes up this fee and what makes up that fee. You know, I look at things like your franchise fees. You know, are your franchise fees at the right percentage where they should be right now by law?
What do you mean by
franchise? Okay, so those are what we refer to as right of ways. So, and the law says, here's what you can charge. And sometimes we as cities say, well, we're going to be nice and charge less than that. Lots of cities do that. Okay, well, it just comes at your expense. Now I realize that you'll have whoever's going to come in and get hit with that. By the way, that one is a pass on. They'll just pass it on. But the fact of the matter is it's still equitable for that service. Okay. I talked about application fees, building permit fees, and I don't know how much land use applications you're getting in, but I'll tell you right now, every land use application should be paying their own way. Okay. Same with building permits. They should be paying their own way. I don't know where you're at on your cemetery fees, your opening and closing the cemetery. These are just ones that I looked at quickly and just put, and these are not big, and these are not even the tax portions. Now we have a little less latitude with taxes, but it is not impossible. Josh talked today, and Josh is talking about things that every one of my small towns talk about, and it is so hard, and it does affect your taxpayers. But the bottom line is with property tax has no inflation component. So you are collecting less today, with the exception of new growth, than you were 10, 20, 30 years ago, as far as the actual cost per home, because inflation has been chewing away with that and you don't get that inflationary component. You have grown probably in that field because you've had new growth. But what's happened is new growth has been basically, I'm going to use Josh's term because I think he said it well, your new growth has actually been subsidized what you've lost in purchasing power from a flat tax. Okay. Now, I'm not suggesting this, but I'm just saying, but what the state did, and this was in response to, you know, the props in California and other things, they made it very difficult to increase property tax in the state of Utah. And so most towns just run away from it. Okay. I had two property taxes I effectuated as city manager. They were horrific processes in and of themselves. And, but we need them. We started a brand new police department. We didn't have a police department. It's just like, well, okay, that money's not going to just come blowing from the head of Zeus. And we need to figure this out. And they're tough. But, you know, it's worth taking a look at least and saying, where are we at on this issue? I'm not counting that per se. I'd say that's a long-term strategy for you. My point is this. I think there's some things that maybe can be looked at in the budget that maybe you can possibly plug some of these holes and even make whatever you end up either having to post or increasing with your existing employees. I think you could come pretty close, even if, you know, we could be maybe even a little creative and find a way to make it even a cost neutral or as close to that as we can on the issue. And then look at other options too with longer term stuff, because I know you've got the $50,000 deficit, and I haven't looked at that.
It's actually 20.
Oh, is it 20? Mm-hmm. Okay. And I haven't looked at exactly. I wanted to look on your capital side a little bit, see kind of what's all coming in on that. But I mean, the fact of the matter is you as a council are running an operation here. You're running an organization. And so decisions like this need to be made, including payroll decisions, including budgetary decisions, including revenue decisions. We're not warm. We're not just in this position to warm and cuddle everyone. We're in this position because we have to run an organization that is hopefully at the end of the day's general purpose is raising the quality of life of our citizens. And each one of you will define what that means on its own. Now, one last thing I'll say is with respect to, you know, the question, and again, it's a good question. Well, if we have to bump up the town clerk's wages, whether that involves Jessica or not, I think that's almost irrelevant at this moment. Let me come back to that. But whatever we have to do to fill this position, yes, you could have other employees come and say, well, that doesn't seem fair. And I think we ought to be fair with all of our employees. I think we ought to say, listen, we ought to look at the market ability of your position, the value of your of every position we have in this room. Now, it doesn't mean that everybody gets everything at once. It may require us to come up with a structure. But I wouldn't, I believe that if anybody's undervalued in the community, again, at least good discussion. And hey, at the end of the day, if it's just we're broke, which you're not, but we're broke, we cannot go anywhere. I mean, that's a reality. Jessica would understand that at the end of the day. So would others. I mean, that's the reality. But that doesn't still dismiss the council's responsibility. And I know you know this. I'm singing to the choir. But it doesn't dismiss the council's responsibility of saying, well, how do we deal with this? We still got to deal with it. Whether Jessica's here or Jane Doe or whoever else, we still got to deal with this. So how do we deal with this issue? And I know you're dealing with that. It's not to suggest you or not. So I recommend kind of in summation that you get more context on the value of the position, because I think either direction you choose, that's gonna have a play here. You can spend nothing in your rainy day, for instance, and have no clerk. And did you win or didn't you? I don't know. Sometimes we have to use kind of that short-term stuff to get some longer-term plans into place. And this is without benefits. And I'm going to tell you right now, you throw benefits with your employees, guess what changes radically in government and in private business really fast? I mean, you can have healthcare benefits go to 10% in 1 year. And so, yeah, you know, there'll be a day where you guys will be facing it. And so that's part of kind of running that organization. So I think I can provide some comparables. I have no skin in the game on this. So I think I can kind of approach it and give you, you know, how I'd approach this and the rationale as to why I approach this, if for no other reason than to give you some context on, hey, whether it's Jessica's request or whether it's us posting enough to get, a good quality person for the value of this job, I think it's going to be the same question that still needs to be answered. And so more data will help. It won't be a panacea. It won't just say, boom, there it is. And, you know, and light up in the sky, but more data is always helpful. I think my only other two final things to summarize again is one of the things I love about being a Utah is we grew up with this concept of we don't go into debt, we don't borrow from our rainy day funds, okay? And that's a good, generally speaking, approach to take. But that fund is meant for, and the state intended it for, to be used to kind of ebb and flow on some things. Now, again, if you have to use it, just don't be fearful. That's what I'm just saying. Don't be fearful of using it, but it begs the long run question. Okay. And that's what you need to, and sometimes the long run question takes a while to chip through. Okay. And then second of all, I'd love to keep kind of looking at your revenue side. And say, hey, you know, we ought to look at, this council ought to be considering the building permit fees. The council ought to be, depending on your level of growth and depending on your land use applications, I could see several thousands of dollars. And again, that's also an equitable issue. We're not making the people who are getting the service pay for the service and not everybody else. That's a lot. I kind of just vomited all out over there. So, but at the end of the day, I want very carefully here not to say this is where you need to go. I don't want to say this is where you need to go. That's not my role. Whatever this council, this is from my perspective, looking at this over since John called me on Friday, And today, that's how I'd approach it, is how I'd approach the discussion with my city council, if I was a city manager. And then at the end of the day, when the city council has debated that and made that decision, I'm here to help you with whatever direction you want to go. And if we need to contract that out, if we need to break up duties and responsibilities, if we need to have remote and local, you know, let's chip away at it, start working on it. We'll see what we can do. So if you get the numbers back and you start to see, hey, we're a lot closer. We're a lot closer because then we, you know, but it's still a deficit. Yeah, you want to talk about that because, you know, sometimes a bird in the hand is better than two in the bush, especially when two don't exist or you have no idea of what that two is going to bring. Okay. And so there's going to be a cost. There's going to be a cost also associated with training, hoping the right fit is there, those type of things. Don't get hung up on that. I mean, because it can always be kind of subjective, but the reality is we all agree there would be a cost to that as well. So again, and I can't sit here and say, well, 21's right, 28's right, 26. I could never do that. I don't have enough data in front of me to say that's the issue. You guys have gotten into it way more than I have, but let me see what other data we can throw in there that if it can bring more, it can bring additional insight, that's great. And if it doesn't, you know, so be it.
So Roger, when you're getting your data together, would you look at what can be farmed out and what can't? Because it is my understanding through everything I've read that the financial side has to be in the office and has to be done by the clerk.
It's a good question, Mayor, and I wished I had a good answer, an answer today on this, and I don't, and I will do that research. Because again, I've never seen a remote clerk. Now again, okay, let me qualify that. I've not been working with communities like yours that are pretty isolated, pretty small population in that as well. And so I'm not saying that to say it's not possible. But what is interesting to me, and this is why I think it's a good question, one I want to know more about myself, is this is a sworn in statutory position. And there's a reason it's a sworn in statutory position. And it's because you have an individual that is basically putting their good name on the processes that they have to attest to, okay? And so, and you could say, well, the same is maybe true of somebody who's sitting in St. George, but again, I know the law would not, when the law was written, I'm sure that when the legislators 50 years ago, 60 years ago got together, no one would have ever believed anybody remote would be a town clerk because they didn't have the ability to do it. Okay. So I'm sure that, you know, the original legislative intent is that it would be someone proximate. Again, there's value in being proximate too. You know, citizens like to have somebody that they see their face of. Government will always be a human capital business on some level, no matter how much we can use our e-government. Government will always be a human capital element too. So, you know, what is your town going to tolerate as well as far as, why am I calling somebody from St. George? Why am I calling somebody from, you know, and maybe they don't even know. And maybe it is a moot point. But I don't know. That's a good question because I believe you're right. I believe there are going to be some duties. And even if they're not called out by law, which I don't know if they will be, but they're going to be qualitative decisions from you that, oh, we want this responsibility to be in this office and not in that office or wherever. So part of that may be you, but I, yes, Mayor, I'm happy to look to see if there are some very specific. And like I said, the other problem with remote, it's like going into agreements with other parties. I always call all agreements with other parties prenuptials. Because they're always written for the day it's a disaster. And so I think even if you find the, you know, there will be a day, and it may not be earth shattering, but if you went remote or split up and went partially remote here and that, you'll still be coming back to visit that issue again, because somebody's going to one day say, well, I don't think that person remote is doing what they should be doing. We don't ever see them. We don't think they're giving us anything. et cetera, et cetera. So that's why I said you as a council will just have to weigh that and say, again, am I giving up, you know, these problems just in exchange for potentially these problems as well? And that becomes when you start quantifying it. And if you can quantify it as a council member and start saying, well, yeah, that to me is worth something. Maybe I can't put a dollar amount on it, but it is worth something. Having somebody in the office maybe is worth something. And you put that in. And then if we start kind of narrow the either through the data you're getting on what could be proposed as a pay and what's willing to be accepted, when you finally get to what that range is, you yourself may be looking at those two things and said, oh, I think we closed that margin. So that's the only reason I suggested kind of that. So in 2022, the town had unrestricted revenues of $335,507. You have restricted revenues of $234,100. That would be such things as Class B and C. That'd be maybe if you have some ARPA funds, things that have a specific purpose. But your unrestricted means that the council has clear legislative control over that of $335,507. That's good and healthy. That's what I wanted to look at here. And so don't be fearful of that. Anyway, it's there for that purpose. Great if you don't use it, but don't be fearful of using it either. It's intended that way. And the legislature does not like, if towns continue to not use their fund balance, the legislature will come in and trim them back because they'll say you don't need them. So that wasn't probably a good way to say it. It sounds almost like it's threatening, but I don't know what our legislature is doing from year to year. So anyway, so that's what kind of my little quick kind of review over the last few days is on the issue. I, again, don't have a dog in the fight on this issue. We can get through it. We can get through whatever your decision is. And I have no doubt you'll thrive and prosper as a community and whichever direction you go. We're here to help you do that, whatever you want us to do to help.
Do any of you have any questions?
Yeah, I do. Okay. So when you look at comparing wages with other towns, mm-hmm. you also take into consideration what the wage is in the community for comparable jobs?
Well, again,
or are we just government and whatever the government can pay?
Well, I think the interesting thing in town, well, you've got a good point. And again, this is going to be an analysis we can do before the 25th too. But one of the things I'm understanding, and I don't know this firsthand, but one of the pressures you're having in the town is the local market as well. So it is my understanding that you have a lot of private businesses out there that are posting for very high pay as well. But what's interesting to me is, let's just take the $21. And again, there may be 100 other factors as to why it wasn't a successful recruitment. Okay, and I'll leave that up to you all.
22.
Thank you. And again, there may be lots of reasons why it wasn't a successful recruitment, but that at least is telling to you, even in town. And I don't know what that tells, but the little depth of knowledge I have, it tells me that at least one of the factors is not the wage. It's strong people. If the government was leading the pack by an excessive amount. And remember, these are knowledge jobs. These are not to be compared with unskilled jobs. These are knowledge jobs. These are jobs that you want that person to have a specific skill set, even if they learn it as they go, because you've now invested in them, and has a very specific talent and trade in what they do. So we got to be careful what we compare to. Part of it may be because you don't have that, people didn't feel they met that the qualification component, so they didn't apply. That could be part of it as well. Well, that's still the same problem. Still the same problem is you may have a vacant seat sitting in the recorder's chair. But all I know is market forces will always play some. So local wages, yes, will play a role. And you know, you have maybe local wages that are a little less, but maybe some local wages have benefits too. You have unskilled wages that would clearly be less, but those wouldn't be people you'd be hiring anyway in this position if you wanted a good foundation for what you're doing. And so, yeah, we look at the local market, but you know, it's the best prover of the local market is your posting.
Okay, so I have one more question. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it's the job that is not desired. So maybe perhaps it's the town council that needs to take a look at themselves or look at the job and say, just what is it you expect from the clerk? What is she actually required to do? And what is all the extra stuff that she's getting put on her? That really, she should say, hey, that's not my job. You guys, you go talk to the town council. I'm not the one to give the answers. I don't know what they're, and it's not, again, we're back to, is it just the town clerk job? No, I'm thinking of all the jobs we have.
Right. Yeah, no, that's a good question. Only you guys will be able to ultimately answer that. The reality of all the small towns is, we used to have a saying, it was STP, it's the same 10 people. Okay, it's always the same 10 people that do everything in the community. I would suspect that everybody that sits on this council has been lumped into the SVP group. And John said this is a good civic-minded community. But the reason I think that the comparables are important is because you're going to be making decisions on the nuance. Okay, so let's say there's a wage gap. And this wage gap, let's just use this as an example. Let's say there's a wage gap of $1. What I mean by that is, hey, you think you can go to 23? Jessica says, I can do that, you know, because the market says it's 23 instead of 20. I'm just making that as a scenario. You can add that up and say, well, that's $4,000 in a year, $5,000 in a year. And they retain all the responsibilities that the state gives them as well as everything else. Because what will end up happening is, where are you going to go to? You're going to go to your council members to pick up the slack, because otherwise you're going to either be bringing full-time people, give them more hours, got the same issue, that's pay. You're going to be hiring new people, or the council's going to have to pick that up, or you're going to have to rely upon volunteers, which works when they volunteer and doesn't work when they don't. And so that's, again, the question that only you as a council can say. And I do, John and I talked about this a little bit. I hope we do get to the point where we can have, because I'm interested in learning from you on how you've divided up responsibilities as a council, okay? Most small towns will give, and I know you do too, hey, John, you'll be over roads, you know, you'll be over this, you'll be over this. But then how is that really translate? What actually happens with that? And you're right, if there are some things that a council member can do as that part of their duty, that right now the clerk is doing, you can say, hey, we can peel that off, and that's all understood, and the rest of the council understand it, so there's less pinches between the council, then that is great. But again, just looking at what the state gives a clerk, and the state doesn't, this is the sad part, state doesn't say your small will excuse you. State just says it's not a problem to help Kim and Rob. And if you didn't do it, give you a good example. You don't get your quarter filings in, you don't get your money from the state.
Okay, so now I keep having more questions.
No, you're good. No.
So are there jobs, when we were talking about outsourcing, I think in my mind we were thinking, okay, we do Polaris.
Yes.
That's just an example.
Right.
Okay. So are there other jobs that every other town has?
That are outsourced?
The why don't all the communities have one person? You know what I mean? Or
yeah, so
like we got to do such and such to the garbage.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
No. So instead of all the clerks have to be all this stuff, why isn't there? I don't know.
No, I think it's a good perspective, and here would be my thoughts on that. And especially as it relates to the clerk position. So towns are not great about cooperating.
Well, I guess you're right there.
So Washington City built a joint fire station with Hurricane Wright coming off SR-9, okay? We largely did it because we had two cooperative cities at the time and two cooperative chiefs, and that serves their commercial development or industrial development, that serves our Coral Canyon. Okay. We looked around the state because we said, surely this has been done before and we can just use a template of an agreement. None. We even had our bankers looking for ones. We couldn't find it. So we had to start from scratch with an agreement to share a fire station. I've seen towns that have built a fire station directly across the street from the town, next town, that the border just happens to be the street, and they have two fire stations. So number one, towns are not great at cooperating. I think we're actually getting better, but that goes back to that success is largely proportionate to your cooperative agreements, especially for small towns. Second of all, and let's talk about clerks for a minute. I mean, at the end of the day, clerks are pretty darn busy. When you start to consider what clerks do in evening assignments, okay, that's one of the snafus with clerks. And I know this because I downloaded the dates and the times of all 19 of my community's city councils and planning commission meetings in case I wanted to attend them. Okay. I could, and what would be nice, I guess, about that is I wouldn't worry about my wife after a while because she'll have left me. Okay. I already go to enough of them because I told you I oversee Hilldale and Colorado City, and I'm required to attend all of their meetings, including their closed sessions. So I think what happens a lot of times, what at least is maybe one of the reasons people are discouraged about having the conversation, I just don't even think it gets to the conversation, is they say, well, Jessica knows our town, okay, and we don't think she's really going to understand Escalante, okay. You know, she's not one of us. Okay. And to be honest with you, and this goes back to the role of the clerk, they really are the personal face of your community as well. I mean, they're the ones that they're going to see more than probably even you, potentially. And so I think towns have kind of not had that discussion, which maybe they should, because I think in some areas we are beginning to cooperate a little bit more, but I think they don't because number one, they see all sorts of potential conflicts. Who trumps who when a council meeting conflicts, when you put in a special council meeting and it becomes a problem? You know, well, we want Jessica to be able to relate to Mrs. Adams down the lane, and she's never going to relate with Mrs. Roberts over in Escalante and those type of things. So I think because the clerk has been such a personable type of job historically, and maybe we'll have no choice but to get away from that, that's probably why it hasn't happened. And I just have not seen a sharing of one. Again, I'll qualify that by saying, I'm sure they exist out there. I haven't seen them. So not a great answer, but that's just my perspective on that. I think it's great if the more we can cooperate as small towns, that's a rising tide that raises all boats. But I know that there's pride in our townships sometimes. And we kind of say, you know, And there's also healthy competition. I mean, let me tell you my relationship with St. George, okay? We came this close to suing them over a couple of policies, and we've had more knocks with St. George than we've had. That's not true. We've had way more cooperation than knocks, but we've had knocks. And I want people to know I'm Washington. I'm not St. George. I'm proud of who I am. So I think a lot of that has to do with the cultural issue. But your good question, because I think we might get to the point, especially if we have a market that dries up. We may be, of course, one of the things we're working on as, and this is a personal thing, I'm not going to go into this because I've gone into it too much, but we're working on ways to say, how can we implement some artificial intelligence items on the rural government side to help make up the gap of resource deficit? And I've already used it. I played around and with much less effort, I wrote a whole section of code for Tropic, and it did take some nuancing. It did take some proper prompts. It worked on. Well, my goal is to then help these clerks understand how to use that. Because if Jessica can shave an hour here and an hour there off the routine stuff, then all of a sudden we're in a different world. Now, she has plenty that'll absorb, fill in that space, but that's good because, again, so much doesn't get done. We've been talking about why aren't we using a program like Otter to record our council and commission meeting or commission meetings. Now, we're waiting kind of for the state to catch up a little bit on that too, but right now they're not prohibiting it. So I may try to talk a city or a town into maybe trying that. Because if I have to have a clerk sit in the meeting, take minutes, then listen to the meeting again to make the corrections. And yes, at the end of the day, the one thing that AI will never be able to do is this position right here has to attest to what that is accurate. And then you have to attest to it when you approve those minutes. So the clerk has to make sure that it was John who made the motion and not something else. But again, one thing your town does that I found out is you almost take transcription of your council meetings, and that's never been required of the state. It's minutes, okay? So let me tell you the variation you can see. Now, I'm not critical of the transcription. Bless their hearts. I mean, that's a lot of work. But minutes, I've seen minutes summarized in 3 pages of a 3-hour council meeting, and the key elements are marked, which we know what they are in the code. And the reason they do them shortened is because the recordings are available. You can listen to the live, you can listen to every cough and whisper that there is if you want to. We've hit the highlights here. Now we have AI programs like Otter that will summarize. Now, at the end of the day, it's still a clerk, it's still this human capital thing. It has to go back and say, okay, I can attest to this, that this is going to be accurate. And there's no doubt they're going to have to correct some things because it's not that foolproof yet. And then ultimately it'll come to you and you'll have to make sure that it's correct. But I think there's potential there. And if we can shave up, my goodness, if we could deal with just minutes alone between planning commission and city council, you could knock off 3-4+ hours in every community.
So do you have other suggestions like that?
I've got a big long trip home tomorrow, so I'll come on. But yes, I think once you guys decide, so here's what we got. Let's triage this. You got an immediate problem. That's number one. Are we losing? Is Jessica leaving or is she not? If she's staying, there's probably some discussion that the council has to have. If she's leaving, certainly there's discussion the council has to have. And we need to get ourselves in the best position to either, whatever you guys decide, to either work with Jessica to assure that she can stay or make sure that we can recruit a good quality candidate, okay? That's concern number one, because you can't live with a vacant position. Oh, and let me be clear. The LAAs are not your recorders or your town clerks. We can't. I was saying to somebody the other day, they said, well, maybe you can help us with, and this wasn't your city, maybe you can do this for us while we're transitioning. And I said, we have 19 towns. And then I said, oh, no, wait a minute. I have 19 towns. I know we, five county. I'm the LAA. And the program was never intended for us to be any type of an employee. So we're here to support, encourage, empower, and give and help where we can. But so that's our number one priority. We've got number one issue, and I know that's why this meeting was called, was to say, hey, what do we need to do to get into a position to make the decision we need to make to get this issue resolved one way or another? And that's where I want to be clear. I am not leading you one way or another. You're going to have some of the same issues either way you go, and I'm willing to help there to keep this on pace. Then what I think, you've got that underway. Then I think we can start going and start, because maybe we if Jessica's still here, Jessica would have great insight on that same question. If Jessica's not here, we wouldn't have the benefit of that. But we could all sit down and go through that list, and we could have Lacey maybe help, you know, with the list and say, okay, how can we put these in different buckets maybe? And I'm one that will say that there are some things you're just not going to do on the state list. It's impossible. But it's because the state has said that position is so dang important. They keep piling on. I mean, to fill a grandma request, depending on the extent of the grandma request, can take hours and sometimes days. And you're mandated on how quick you have to do it. Okay? They can get subpoenas, which, you know, just legal forms of these grandma requests. Again, we've talked about minutes. We've talked about, and then there's the ticky little thing. You know, your insurance issue is going to come due, and they're going to have to go through that, make sure inventories are done. They need to prepare council packets, you know, and I'll tell you what, managing you all is not an easy task for sure either. And they have to help there. They have to do that. So I do feel for our clerks. They've been given a Herculean task. So you're right. At the end of the day, there's still going to be some things we're going to say, you know what? We have to do that, but it's just going to have to sit on the back end of the list. But I think there's some fun things that I'm hoping to do with the smaller towns to say, how can we? And one of the things I want to do too, so I've taught a number of actual town reporters. They're actually city reporters. They're in larger towns. And I've made relationships with them. So I've talked to all of these. There's like four of them. And I've said, hey, because here's the problem you have with me. So she can call up and say, Roger, how am I supposed to post this? And I go, I got a recorder that did that. I didn't do it. So I don't know, but I'll find out. So in some cases, I've called my resources. And even in one or two cases, I've said, and it hasn't been a posting issue, is I'll say, hey, Gina, would you mind calling this clerk in this town and walking through this with her on how she might address this issue? And one thing I love about government is how cooperative we are with each other. I've been in private business. I've been in public. You can never call your competitor and say, will you help me on this issue? And what does your books look like on this? But in government, it is just the opposite. I have wonderful colleagues that have given all that they could to help our little community. You'll have that there. One of my goals is to help bridge all that for all of you as well. So, I get a little bit evangelistic because I love public administration. It's the greatest of all worlds. I mean, you are all functioning and having to deal with real world problems. You have to balance budgets. You have to manage personnel. You have to put in capital investments. Those are all very rational, very challenging things. But what you've chosen to do by joining the city council is you've chosen to operate and become good operators of an organization. But unlike business, sometimes you get to do it in a very irrational environment. Okay. And that is, you've got 270, is that your number? Citizens? 260?
Yeah, fluctuate.
Okay. Let's just go. You got 260 self-actualizing corpses floating around by spirits out there, and every one of them will have an opinion. And you got to somehow make sausage out of that. That's what's so great about what we do.
Any questions?
just so I understand, so there will be some more information. You will provide some forthcoming information to help us.
Yeah, that's the goal. I always worry about building people's expectations up too high. So I've almost begun to introduce myself by saying, okay, lower your expectations, whatever you've heard. But I'm going to do my very best to get you some data. I'll have some rationale as to why I'm giving you that data. And again, if you see the data and say, I think that Roger kind of missed the boat a little bit. He should have looked at these as well. Happy to modify. That's why I'll give you the rationale. Again, I'll probably look at some of your local surrounding towns. I'll look at, but I'll probably feed you some information on that too. So you probably have some towns around here that have had clerks that have been there for 30 years. Okay, that's going to be important for you to put in context, because just like I said, you can leapfrog in pay structures. Organizations are notoriously good at exploiting their existing personnel for a long period of time because they're not going anywhere. They're happy with the 1% raise for every year for 10, 15 years. But then all of a sudden reality hits and there's a new market out there. And all of a sudden I got a problem. So my goal is to get you some data on, so I'm going to probably look around this area. I'll probably look a little bit outside this area. The real interesting one I'm going to figure out, and I can figure this out. This will be the thought going down 12, is I want to try to find out what some of the current postings have been. Now that may not and probably won't match up to the same type of town size because there just wouldn't be that many, but it will still give an idea of the market a little bit. And then you can use your own intuition too and say, well, look, this was a posting in Provo, Utah, and this is what they offered, and we're not Provo, Utah, we're this. And so you can do your own calculation because you know what this is, and I don't. So it'll be more context, let me tell you that. And hopefully the context just gives you more of an opportunity to say, and then if you're, once you get that, Because I'm going to be honest with you, depending on what towns I pick, you may find some towns are well below where you're at right now, but it's because the people have been there forever and never gotten a raise or never been given a raise. That still doesn't mean it's going to match the market out there. So that's why I need to try to figure out how to add the market piece. But at whatever point you're at, and I think you all ought to have a discussion with Jessica, because again, just finding out, you know, is she willing and to what level? And again, you're not making an offer yet, because I think you ought to wait and have that discussion, because you may not want to do that either. You may just say, hey, we've moved on. You know, we're going this other route. And, you know, Jessica recognizes that's an option as well. But you've got some opportunity, I think. It sounds to me that you do have some opportunity to have discussion with her as well. And then when you finally get down to that number, that would be telling to you. And then you can start making your judgments and say, well, we're still $6 off, so that's not going to work. Well, we're 89 cents off. And is that worth it to me to go through this whole process for 89 cents? You know, those type of things. So that's my goal, is just to give you data, and then you guys begin to put the values into those data from your own perspective and experience. So I'm going to hopefully get you some good stuff. Be honest with me when it's done, if it's good stuff, and helpful. And if it wasn't, be honest with me. But it is a tall order for, you know, 2 weeks. And I hate to say this, I'm going to be in Cancun for the next 5 days. So, but I don't think it'll, I think I can get you the data. So
I appreciate that. All right. Anybody else? Jeff? You got anything you want to say? or ask any questions?
Well, Jessica's thinking of what she wants to say. I think one thing I heard today, A is an important part, but there are some other things that are, like Gladys had said, you know, maybe the job isn't attractive. It's these non-pay stress factors that get into how we design the job, how we define expectations, how we set priorities. And I think we need your help to identify whether it's you doing the job or some other person. We need to address those non-pay issues that make the job stressful and not satisfactory, not satisfying. Because I think everybody really likes a job where at the end of the day, they go home and say, you know, I made the world a little bit better place by doing my job today. So I think that's one of the things. And you know, in terms of other information, we've talked about Roger getting us pay comparables. And I think one thing that also, you know, when you talk about the competing, you know, you've got a three positions right now in this town and quite a few others countywide in the school district.
Right.
You know, and some of those are also knowledge positions.
They are. And this is why I probably, Gladys would rely, sorry, Councilwoman. Then I would probably rely upon you all more to give the pulse of the private sector in this town. If we had a lot of time and a lot of resources we could pull, you know, but you know it. This is a small enough town. You know where you're at.
And then I think, you know, from Jessica, I think coming next for the next meeting, I think that list of statutory responsibilities that you have in the state code, I know I've looked at the 280 some page Municipal Clerks Association manual. You know,
it's a good manual.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a 280 page manual. It gives a flavor of how much the complexity of this job is. Some things like we don't have a justice court, so that doesn't apply, but a lot of it still does.
And you realize that if a clerk, different than many of your other jobs out there, if your clerk missteps, she's now just open the town for liability.
That's the big one I've always felt, you know, especially on things like, you know, some business feels that they were harmed by a mistake that the town made legally. Yeah, we could be in a $100,000 lawsuit overnight. So, but I think, Jessica, if you could, so I think we do need to present to the town council both your view of your duties and what would make the job more attractive, most focusing on these issues you brought up in some of our conversations about expectations, criticism, priorities, and so forth. So if we redesign, we as a council help you make your job a easier job to succeed at.
You know, historically, government's been known for this. They don't pay a good wage, but they have good benefits. Okay? That's all changed. In part, it's changed because of the cost of benefits. So one of the benefits was always retirement. Well, the state of Utah's retirement system has completely been overhauled since 2012, and it's now as competitive or on the same level of companies that offer, you know, their 401s, basically. And pays have gone up kind of to commensurate for that. But in some cases, again, when we get into the small towns, it's just you struggle with the budget to be able to even make the, you can't afford the benefits at all. And you struggle to even, in some cases, come up with what you're coming up with for the job itself. So that helps the unattractiveness of the position, because then add, these are not easy positions and they know it. You are going to have citizens in your face. These are thick skin positions. You're going to be hated by at least half your town all the time. They're going to be in your face. You know, we are seeing a declining number of young people going into wanting to go into government because they are not attracted to the challenge and the strength you need to have in local and in government because of the way you get treated. And you know that as council members. You get treated that way on bad public hearing notes. Okay. They get treated like that all the time. Poor city manager. I mean, if you ever want to feel bad, poor city. I mean, because one, it's our American right to gripe about our government. We get that right. So we're going to take full advantage of it. And second of all, you know, if I'm inconvenienced over something, it's their fault, her fault, your fault. And you need to make sure that their lifestyle never changes. When I finally left city management, I told my wife, I said, this is such a weird feeling for me because for the first time, I'm not responsible for everybody's problems. And that's how you feel sometimes. The neighbor's dogs barking is now our problem. Okay, so it's tough. And that's, so you can only, we're going to only put so much lipstick on this pig, okay? But that's why things we can control, we need to control. And maybe that's another reason that people are saying, like, I'm going to go do something else for than all this.
Yeah, I think the other thing that I know Josh will help me with on is that the next meeting, I would like to come with some suggestions on things we can do to help cut our cost in the current year. Because I think if we could come up with a few thousand dollars here and there of cost savings, that helps make it less painful to say, okay, we're going to be going higher on administrative salaries. So,
yeah. And I mean, you got a thin budget. There's no doubt about it. And you can only, we're only going to squeeze so much. I always like to look at the revenue side because I think because of towns' unwillingness to make people's lives difficult, they sometimes are unwilling to deal with the revenue side a little bit. So I always like to look at that. And like I said, almost every town, small town, is similar to yours in those senses. Because again, at the end of the day, you need to have the revenue to do this. But this is the task before you. And whether it's with this position or any other position, you all wanted to ride this funny bus for 4 years. And this is what is asked of you to run the operation, like this operation. And you know this, you know this. I mean, you know that you came in here and were not going to be liked by everybody on the issue. And so, and again, my job is just to stand by you and say, what can I do to help?
So, John, I wanted, when you were talking about that, we need to have a work meeting on that, on what, how we can bring more revenue in, what fees we can charge, and when we need to start it, how quickly we need to move on that to bring more revenue in. But the meeting on the 25th, because we have the second meeting after with the Planning Commission, I don't think we really have time to do that. Were you thinking about doing that, Dan?
More suggestions and ideas. I put down a note I would like to be able to address the fee structure at our August meeting.
Okay, that's good.
August meeting. But that means, you know, at the 25th meeting, I could say, well, I think we can get another $3,000 a year in fees. We'll bring this up as a business, an action item for August. So it's more, and at the 25th, it's going to be more ideas and things that, that we want to consider.
And even one of your first decisions may simply be, we are instructing staff and council to begin to look at these particular fees.
Sure.
Because remember, some fees have to be cost-based, so that's going to take a little bit of an analysis. But we do them. And it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be geometry, but there has to be a rational basis, okay? And so, and Jessica knows this. I know this, so if somebody else comes in, we know this. So that's going to take a little time. So what would be really helpful from the council standpoint is, one, you're saying, yeah, we would like it, because we don't want to, nobody wants spin wheels. The council then ultimately says, we don't want to do that. And second of all, if you have some of the fees or structures that you would like to instruct staff to make some proposals back, that would be helpful. And then you'd have to go through a little bit of the process. So, I mean, it'll still take a couple months, but the process begins.
Yes. And I think during our conversation this afternoon, we talked about, since we're just starting the fiscal year now, maybe in a few months, we'll have a meeting where we reopen the budget after we see how our revenues are going, how these decisions are working out. We'll probably need to reopen the budget in 4 to 6 months to adjust that. But I think,
yeah, can I just say that? So one of the suggestions I had, and this is just a suggestion, so whether you need to adjust the budget for a new hire or whether you need to adjust the budget to deal with existing hires, I would not immediately rush to doing your budget. There is no reason to do that. There is nothing that says the minute you add an increased cost, you have to immediately add the revenue side. As a matter of fact, some cities predate or preset their budget openings and they stick to that. And the reality under the law is you just have to on June 30th of 2025 hand them a balanced budget. So the reason I suggested to John that don't be hasty on that is because it wouldn't make any sense to open the budget real quick to deal with an expense item. And then a couple months later, you have some revenues you want to put in place. You have to open it again. You can almost do that at the same time and perceptually in front of the public, that looks like you've worked to deal with that. And so I would encourage your thoughts on that. I mean, I don't think that there's no compelling argument that you have to same day deal with the
budget. Well, and that would also give us a chance to take a look at how everything's working for us and if expenses have gone up or expenses have gone down. That way we have a good idea, but we definitely need to take to address all the application fees and everything else, and we need to address the dump fees.
Yes.
I really believe that could be an addition to this town. But figuring it out and figuring how to keep people from filling up the dumpsters. So we'll have to have Josh have a good talk with maybe Dave Dobbs and see what we can do there. So there are ways we can, you know, increase some revenue, but it needs to be a good talk, and it's going to take us a little bit to do it, you know.
I think, well, one thing for tonight was to identify issues. So I guess the question for both Gladys and Ray is, what other information do you would you want to see available when we meet on the 25th?
I think mainly from my perspective, it'd just be comparables, you know, that we have apples to apples.
We'll do our best. Mm-hmm. And again, we are limited in time. But I think, again, any additional information hopefully will be helpful to some level. And I may bounce back after I thought this through. I may bounce back for this to go back to you guys all too. That when I have a rationale on the towns I'll look at, I may say, hey, you know, Mayor Jessica, could you let the council know I'm going to be looking at comparables that meet this rationale? And if you find that concerning or you think it ought to be otherwise, then you can just push that back through to the mayor. There's no decision being made. So you just, it's just informative. And then I can say, okay, maybe, you know, I can shift that. And again, I'll look at it kind of like what we've done in our own communities with comparable
comparable data sets.
Okay, Gladys?
Okay, now, state your question again. I didn't pay.
Okay, just, you know, what it is, we've got the plan now to get the congressional salaries. We've asked Jessica to help identify any non-pay stressors that are making the job undesirable. So that's information that we can have. We'll at least flag some areas where we might be able to get some revenue to offset the wages. Is there any other information that you would want to see? Because that's the fact that we should try to make some decision about what we're doing.
Okay, so are you suggesting you want ideas, areas we can cut in the budget, sir, or what we can do to generate more? Is that what you're wanting at that point?
Well, those are things that we should have on available. Are there other things I haven't mentioned or thought about that you would want, information you would want?
No.
And I think the safest way to approach this as a council is once you have the data on what the wage is going to cost, again, whatever direction you go, I would say we have to just make the decision and prepare ourselves to make the decision as an additional deficit spending until we come up with the other items. But it will drive us to do the other items. Okay. The only reason I say that is you can connect them. But I don't want to be misleading to anybody either, because we don't know exactly what those revenues will look like until we get through with the analysis. Okay? But you won't have that time to wait. And so I just say, you know, I'm confident that there's additional revenue enhancement. I haven't looked at the expense side, and I probably wouldn't know it any. You wouldn't know it if there's any. I'm sure you try to run a pretty lean operation. But I can't say, well, we're going to generate $20,000 from the revenues. And so I think you need to independently approach this and say, whether it's Jessica or not, we have now come to a conclusion as a council that our posting needs to be higher or not. And if it needs to be post higher, we recognize that's going to add to the deficit right now until we come up with part two. I only say that because I see cities all the time say, hey, I'm spending more money this year, but I'm going to get a grant. And it's like, no, you won't. No. But they do that, and it drives me crazy. And I think it's misleading to the public. And you're not being that way. But you're going to have to make a decision on your existing revenues right now if you have to make a decision. But the but is, I think, where we've got opportunity. So.
All right.
Jessica, did you have something you want to say?
I think that I kind of want to start with when I did resign from the job, there is very much an end date. And I had talked about staying on until, I think I said the Tuesday or Wednesday after the first town council meeting. So it's like the 8th or 9th of August. You know, I gave my notice the 1st of June. So it's already been like a month and so, and just some change. And I really wanted to take this time to tell the council, thank you. I feel like going through these conversations, I at least appreciate that you have taken the time to hear me, to really take into consideration the things that I've been saying, that I've been seeing. It hasn't just been like a dismissal, like, that's great, Jess, but we don't care, goodbye. And so I do appreciate what all of you are trying to do for myself as a community member who, you know, appreciates the town functioning on a good level. And at this point, like seeing where you guys are at and trying to kind of move forward, I would like to say that I am good continuing in the role that I'm in for a little bit longer, because I know it's not as easy. I mean, even this meeting with Roger, like, yes, I gave you a timeline. 2 months is a long time, kind of, not in municipality world. And I am aware of that and seeing that you are making the effort to make these decisions and make educated decisions. And so I don't really know what that looks like of an end time, but what I do ask is that, that
the council does kind of make some decisions, if that either means we are going to put forth the effort to try and keep myself in this position and what that looks like, or if you're like, you know what, we're just going to go in a totally different direction, because I also can't just kind of sit in this la-la land missing other opportunities too, if you guys kind of already know where you're going to go. And so if we can keep an open dialect, and again, I know that a lot of that has to happen in meetings, and meetings can only hurt at a certain time. But I just want to make that, you know, apparent that I am happy to stay on, seeing that there's also no one to apply, or no one that has applied, and that you don't have anyone else. I don't just want to leave the town high and dry. Again, I don't necessarily have an end date right this second, but I am happy to stay on longer than August, to make sure that these can get done if we're going to move together, you know, in a view of keeping me on. Like I said, though, if you're not wanting to, that's okay. And I fully understand, but like, let's make that decision quickly so we can both kind of move on with what that looks like. And then just hopefully I can also help in, kind of making it clear in what this role does and anything that you guys need. But I did want to say, you know, thank you for really hearing that. And, I think that's kind of all I had to say.
Well, I'd like to say thank you, Jessica, for all that you have done. And I hope we can make this work. And as I say, you know, in your discussion that you bring on the 25th, you've got the pay, you've got the non-pay job stressors, you've got your personal situation, your schedule, your kids' education, and all that. You know, that I think we can make it work out, but we do need to put all the issues on the table and just openly address them. Yes, thank you for what you've done, and I appreciate your cooperation in this.
Yes, and I did want to say that is still part of this. I want this, I mean, I've already told all of you and it's on the table, but I do want it to still continue that we are moving our kids over into Wayne County next year for school. So keeping myself in the position, I hope that the position doesn't change that much, but there will be a couple of tiny things that I will need to ask of you guys. And I've mentioned those things. You know, right now it was asked of me to have two, like kind of open public days where the office is open, people can come in. I won't, as far as I think right now, it'll have to be one day that I have the ability to do that. If you still want to, maybe that's something that Lacey can pick up. So there are a couple tiny things like that, that I think are fair to have in your conversation of myself and moving forward. You know, I do see we aren't moving over there. We will have a space over there. We do plan on traveling a lot back and forth. Our biggest concern was the winter, which is very convenient, but that's when Lacey has a little bit more time, because she doesn't have her food truck open. And so hopefully that can help kind of in that, if I'm not able to come over for some reason because of the weather. But I did want that to still, that is still a variable in what I'm offering. So just as we move forward, that is a, you know, just want to make sure that is still something that you were able to consider. So thanks.
Thank you, Jess. All right, anybody else? If not, like we all know what Roger's gonna do and Jess is gonna do. And if anybody wants to jump in and do whatever, get up any information, they can do that as long as we have it by that meeting. But we will vote and decide what we're gonna do so we can move on with this job. All right, yeah, no more questions. We are adjourned.
Thank you.